Hi, diddly-ho, neighborinos, and welcome into the QB List podcast. I am not your host. I am QB List lead analyst Jay Felicio, here with the host, Mr. Brett Ford. You can follow him on X at Fade That Man. You can follow me at GMNJ. Brett, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Jay. It's another week closer to football. We had preseason stuff to watch last weekend. It was kind of my last weekend of proverbial freedom. Because, you know, starting next week, what we saw is hitting the ground running. It's an exciting new format and I'm super stoked about it. But it means I gotta watch a lot of football, which I'm not complaining about, but, you know,
it's one of those things, like, it's like, yeah, you know, I gotta watch football. It's
honey. I have to lock myself in the family room and, you know, for 12 hours on a Sunday.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I guess you got to take care of the kids, you know, gotta do this thing. But no, yeah. I completely get what you're saying. It's not
bring me dinner. I'll be in the kitchen at a commercial. Right.
Exactly. Quick. Yeah. That works out real well.
Yeah.
But no, it's incredible how fast it sneaks up on you. And I wrote in the recently published Ultimate Draft Guide, the intro. It's like, man, it doesn't matter. Fantasy analyst, fan, average Joe, it sneaks up on you every year. It's like baseball, all-star game, football. And it's exciting. Like you said, there was actual, you know, the Hall of Fame game doesn't count. Like, it's exciting, but that doesn't count. We had actual preseason games, and we've had some actual preseason injuries, but we're not here to talk about those. We will, they might come up as we discuss. Going to discuss some sleepers for this year. We both wrote a sleeper series. I went with the post-hype variety, and you went with your average Joe. Not average, that sounds like your typical. That sounds bad too. I'm just putting my foot in my mouth.
That's some flexibility for you, Jay. I didn't
know. Right. I've been stretching every night before I went to bed. It's helped out. So yeah.
No. I would call it a positional sleeper series.
There you go. Well, yeah, I like that. Positional, post-hype, and positional. And we're going to go through some of our favorites. I don't even know who we're going to talk about. So let's just roll right into it. Brett, I'm going to throw it to you. Let's go position by position. Who is one of your – and the good thing is there is some crossover. I do know that. And there's definitely some disagreement as well. Some, you know, and not your made-for-TV – first take Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless kind of time. Do you know what? They screwed up when they switched it from cold pizza. When it was cold pizza, it was amazing.
I miss Stump the Schwab. Like, yes. give me Stump the Schwab back and I'd be happy. Like, you could just throw that on 24 hours a day and I'd be in my glory.
Give me regular old Sports Center. What it used to be.
Speaking of, rest in peace, Bill Rasmussen, founder of ESPN. Rutgers alum, and just seemed like an overall good guy. Didn't know a ton about him, but everything I read about him was very much waxing poetic. So,
and no matter what you think about ESPN right now, the impact it's had on generations of sports fans. I mean, anybody,
our generation,
right. And it legitimately would sit for hours and watch SportsCenter. I went to sleep watching SportsCenter. I woke up watching SportsCenter. You'd go to a restaurant, it was SportsCenter. It's just incredible. I do miss that. You know, it's nice to have the information age where you can find everything out, but there was just something about waiting for that, the scores across the bottom line on ESPN to see if your team won or not. And those were the days. Yeah, we're moving on from we're on status here.
Aged ourselves quite a bit with that that little preview there, but let's jump right into these positional sleepers, Jay. I'm going to start a quarterback with a guy that we have disagreed on, like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. It's Miami Dolphins starting quarterback Malik Willis. My take on Willis is basically that, you know, the rushing floor is too good to pass on at this draft price. And, oh, by the way, he's got upside with his arm. Now, granted, we've seen rushing quarterbacks fail, right? We've seen Justin Fields with the New York Jets. But we've also seen Justin Fields with the Chicago Bears be a top six quarterback. every NFL quarterback who's led the league in quarterback rushing yards over the past several seasons has finished as a top six quarterback. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, of course, the elite superstars. But then Fields did it in 2022. So my theory here is that Willis has the ability to be a league average arm at quarterback and to potentially lead the league as a rusher at the quarterback position. So really excited about him at the price. And you're risking very little. You're looking at maybe a 15th or 16th round draft pick in a 15 or 16 round draft to take Willis. And in one quarterback leagues, that's a price that I'm absolutely willing to pay just to have that lottery ticket sitting on my bench. In two quarterback leagues, I'm happy to have him as a third quarterback, along with a guy probably like a Baker Mayfield or a Jared Goff, somebody that I can count on a little bit more for a bottom line. But looking at the Dolphins, they've got yak receivers. They've got Devon Achane in the backfield. They've got Greg Dulcich at tight end, and they've got warm bodies at wide receiver also. So, you know, they are set up very nicely to be the new age Arizona Cardinals. Their defense looks like...
Are you saying that as a positive or...
Yeah.
I mean, your voice, you can even tell that you don't believe that.
No. Okay. Listen, from a fantasy standpoint, the Cardinals offense was extremely viable for most of the season last year because the defense was so bad. That is the parallel that I'm drawing there, is that the Miami defense could be so bad that the Dolphins offense is on the field playing catch up, similar to what Jacoby Brissett produced last season as a garbage time quarterback. I could see Malik Willis doing something similar this year.
So my pushback is, it's not that I don't believe that he has upside, because any quarterback with rushing ability has upside. And we have seen some flashes from Malik Willis, but it's too small of a sample size for me. It's basically, in six quarters, Willis went 27 for 32, 409 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and rushed 19 times for 104 yards and two touchdowns. Yeah, that rushing, I will take that all day. I can't take that small of a sample size with the team that's built around him. Let me ask you this. Those yak receivers, how many of them can you name?
Two. Devon Achane and Greg Dulcich.
Okay. There we go. And the thing for me, it's the quarterbacks that you pass up where you have to take Malik Willis. It's not, like you said, it's not like a draft pick that's going to destroy your draft in one QB. He's going off the board as QB21, according to Fantasy Pros right now. But give me Daniel Jones. Give me Cam Ward. Give me, okay, so these are moved around, going around his range at, okay, he's moved up. Kyler Murray's went up. So when I was writing, because Malik Willis is in my Fantasy Grenades article, a couple of these guys have gone over him. So, but right now, I mean, he's virtually tied with Tyler Shuck and Baker Mayfield. I would definitely take Shuck. You got me on the Shuck truck.
Yes, sir.
And I might go Willis over Baker. But the other guys going around him, like I said, CJ Stroud, I would take Willis. Daniel Jones. Hey, let's go. Let's do a quick name game real quick.
You want me to give you names? Because you know where I'm at, because I'm going Willis all the way.
Yeah, let's do both. I'll throw it to you, and then I'll say who I would go. So right now, he's going QB 21, so I'll go three above and three below. So QB 18 is Jordan Love.
Malik Willis.
I would go Love. Mayfield.
Depending on situation, I would want Mayfield as my QB 1, but I would want Willis as my QB 2.
Okay. I would, it's closer than it would have been about 3 weeks ago, but I still think I would go Mayfield. We know we're both going Chuck over Willis. CJ Stroud.
Willis.
Yeah, I'm going Willis too. Daniel Jones.
Willis.
I'm going Danny Dimes. Sam Darnold.
Willis.
Yeah, I'm going Willis there. And then one more, Cam Ward.
Willis.
Yeah, I'm going Cam Ward there. So I've come a little more to your side on there, but I just, it's too small. And I'm not normally that guy. Like, I'm normally, you know, if you see the talent on the field, it doesn't really matter how small of a sample size, but I just feel like it's the hype is incredible for what we've seen. If he just had one, if he had Tyreek Hill, if he had Jaylen Waddle, if he had somebody like Malik Washington's fine. He's a good, like, I think he's probably going to be the most fantasy viable wide receiver on this team. But when he's your one.
Listen, you hit me with small sample size. Okay. You hit me with lack of weapons. You hit me with bad football team. And all I can say is 2025 Jackson Dart was able to succeed.
He's also a much better quarterback than Malik Willis.
Allegedly.
And Wan'Dale Robinson would jump on this team and be the wide receiver one instantly.
Also fair. Also okay. Fair.
So, but I get what you're saying. I follow you. Willis probably has a better arm than Dart at this point, I would say.
Well, yet to be seen. Like you said, small sample. We'll have to wait and see. But he's a gamble that I'm willing to take. You have other routes that you'd rather go there. Completely right. Understand that. Let's move on to the guy who you've selected as your sleeper quarterback for this podcast, Jay. Who's one of the guys that you're taking a shot on this year?
I'm back in on Kyler Murray, speaking of the Arizona Cardinals. I know that he's come up a little short over the past couple of seasons, but we've seen him have multiple top 10, multiple top 5 fantasy seasons in less than stellar situations. I know J.J. McCarthy was the dumpster fire of all dumpster fires, but we've seen KOC take scraps and make them fantasy viable quarterbacks, and he was went out and got Kyler Murray. I think he's gonna build this offense around him. He's got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. I got weapons in the backfield. You know, Aaron Jones, while I don't like him for fantasy purposes, he is a very capable pass catcher. I'm back in on Jordan Mason, shocker. But and they just signed Juwan Jennings. So plenty of options to throw to. He's got a QB whisperer for a offensive coordinator / head coach. Still got a little bit of motion in him too. He can get it done on the ground. So I think he's well worth where he's going. His ADP has gone up to. He's now QB 17. If he goes up a whole lot more, I don't know if I would take him. But, yeah, he's going right behind Jared Goff, Bo Nix, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy. I would take him over all of them besides Mahomes.
Yeah, that's fair. Just make sure that you are aware of, some of his decorated history with video game releases.
Yes. So do not start him on double XP weekend.
Is a bad weekend to start Kyler Murray. But also make sure you deal him away before week 12. November 29th, I believe, is the release date for Grand Theft Auto 6. Extremely immersive video game franchise by Rockstar Games. Week 12, that will come out in the middle of. Get rid of Kyler before then.
Good point. Very good point.
We'll move on to running back, Jay. Running back, who we got as your sleeper?
So do we want to talk about the same guy, or do we want to talk about different people? Actually, two of the same guys we have. I'll go a little different. I'm in on Kenneth Gainwell, and I know there's a lot of people that are back on the Bucky train. Were you going to go Kenneth Gainwell?
No, we disagree on this almost as much as the Malik Willis.
I know. Thing. And that's why I brought it up, because it's good conversation. I'm in on Kenneth Gainwell, especially at the cost. Let's see what, since we've last talked, things have jumped around ADP wise. But I mean, he had a career season in Pittsburgh last year, 73 catches, 1,000 total yards, 8 total touchdowns. And I'm not so sure that Bucky Irving's going to wind up bouncing back to what we saw his rookie season. It appears that if last year holds true, Bucky Irving already lost the goal line work to Sean Tucker, which granted that isn't a certainty, but if anything like last year, then not going to have those goal line carries. And then Kenneth Gainwell has pretty much the same skill set. Even the coaching staff has said that if Bucky Irvin goes out there and is not efficient like he was last year, he was, what was it, dead last? He had the sixth highest stuff rate. He was bottom five for both yards after contact and explosive run rate, and he was dead last in yards per carry. Now, granted, he did come back from an injury, so you got to give him a little bit of grace, but that's a lot of bit of grace to expect him to get back to where he was his rookie season. And I think Kenneth Gainwell is just as capable. And we saw when he got a decent amount of touches in Pittsburgh, he was able to produce. And I think in this offense, especially with the banged up wide receivers, Gainwell is a very capable pass catcher. Baker might have to lean on the running backs for some passing of the ball and catching of the ball. And that works in Kenneth Gainwell's favor.
So Kenneth Gainwell's touches last season, he had a career high 187 touches. I have a hard time drafting a guy in the first 10 rounds who, as a running back, is getting less than 200 touches. If I'm looking at
less than 200 so far,
that's fair. But if you're going to use the argument that that's a crowded backfield against Bucky Irving, like, we can't just go and project Kenny Gainwell to get 300 touches this year.
It's more of, I think that Gainwell's going to have the passing down work. And I think he will actually see some goal line touches before Bucky Irving will. So it's one of those. Where's his ADP at now? Because that definitely has to play a role in it as well.
I'm seeing 93 for Gainwell right now as an ADP.
Yeah, I would. There's one name behind him that I would take, and you know who that is. But I think I would probably take him up until I take him probably top 75 over the names ahead of him. I take him over Corum, Hubbard, Dobbins, Menungai. That's probably about it.
I mean, this feels like James White all over again, right? Like, everybody was very excited about James White with the Patriots after his big season. And a lot of his work came through the air and, you know, working with a veteran quarterback who liked to check it down. And then it wasn't sustainable year over year. So it's not exactly scientific, but
sometimes it's your gut.
It's a vibe thing, man. Yeah. I feel like Bucky Irving's going to have a bounce back season. I feel like it's going to come at the cost of Kenneth Gainwell. I don't think that there's very much upside on the ground for Gainwell at all. And I'm worried that if Bucky succeeds, he's going to bleed over into the passing game and take away from Gainwell's production.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. And it's pretty much check of you're more confident in Bucky than I am.
We've seen two Buccaneers succeed, like two Buccaneers running backs succeed before. I believe it was 2024. Irving and Rashad White were both top 24 backs on a per game basis at the end of the year. So we can both be right, maybe.
I like that idea. Let's make that happen.
He says with a giant smile on his face. We'll see. I don't know. One of us is going
to
be right.
We still have to do that board bet episode before the season starts. And
both of us could be wrong. Sean Tucker could be the guy. Who knows? Like,
you're very right.
Ugh. Gross.
What about you? Where are we going? Are we talking about somebody that we agree upon for running backs? Or
I think so. I think if I remember correctly, this is a guy who you're pretty high on here. It's Denver Broncos running back Jonah Coleman, the rookie that they drafted. I believe it was the third round.
Something along
maybe,
those lines.
Maybe fourth round. Either way, I think that the runway for him is more clear than people are giving him credit for. J.K. Dobbins has already been injured once this preseason, and he's got a decorated injury history. I love J.K. Dobbins. As a Ravens fan, he was one of my favorite Ravens, one of my favorite draft picks that they've made over the past 5 years and well, 6, 7 years now. I don't know what it's been a minute, but he was one of my favorite draft picks coming out of Ohio State to the Ravens. I wish that we could have seen him 100% healthy for most of his Baltimore tenure. Since then, he's bounced around quite a bit, had some success when he's been on the field. He's been really good when he's on the field, but he can't stay out there. And then there's RJ Harvey. He's got efficiency questions, big playability questions. I'm not sure that the Broncos would use draft capital on a running back if they really had confidence in him. So now you've got Coleman, who by all reports seems to be doing okay in camp. And, you know, if neither of those guys are successful, he's next in line. I don't think Jaleel McLaughlin's going to factor into this backfield, but who knows? It's Sean Payton, right? You know, the same argument that plays in favor of Coleman kind of plays against him is that, you know, Sean Payton made Audric Estime fantasy relevant for a few weeks. So you literally never know who's going to get the ball. But shoot, why not take a shot on Coleman? Maybe he takes over this backfield in the way that Harvey did at the end of last season from a volume standpoint, not necessarily an efficiency standpoint.
Hey, he was, like you said, fantasy-wise, Harvey was great towards the end of last season because of that volume. So, no, I'm with you, man. I love Jonah Coleman, especially at the cost. He's running back right now. He's running back 50, according to Fantasy Pros, 132 off the board. And it's situations like this. I said it for the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver core. Give me the cheapest guy. Mm-hmm. And Jonah Coleman's the cheapest. And he has a three down back skill set. He's not an amazing pass catcher, but he's a capable pass catcher. So, all it takes is one of those two to get injured or not play up to standard. And you're going to see a significant amount of touches for Jonah Coleman for basically nothing.
Yeah. And Taysom Hill hasn't signed in Denver yet. So, like, all systems go.
Yes. Yes. It's going to happen. Hopefully not. But, Sean Payton, yeah, probably will. But yeah, I'm with you. It's I like Jonah Coleman a lot. I think that he is going to be easily the best value drafted out of that backfield. And potentially, I believe he has that quote-unquote league-winning upside if he were to become the lead back on this team.
I'm ending up with him in a lot of my mocks around pick 140. Like 130, 140, I'm ending up with him in a lot of my mock drafts.
Getting him and Nick Singleton. It's people are just don't want to take the chance, but I want to do. I like throw those guys on the end of your bench or watch if somebody drops them when they don't become the starter after week one or two. We see it time and time again.
The group think this year is that like the arching statement of this rookie class is bad has taken over the groupthink, and nobody wants rookies not named Jeremiah Love this year. And
people don't even want Jeremiah Love.
Like, I mean, I think it's a buy opportunity. I think this draft class is a buy opportunity, you know, because somebody's going to pan out. It's not like you can just go a whole draft class and just be duds the whole way. Like, somebody's going to get an opportunity. Right. Somebody's going to, you know, pan out for fantasy.
The fade can go too far and become a value, and it's worth taking a shot on these guys.
Bingo.
Well, as we move on to wide receiver, Brett, I will let you start off here. Who are we talking about as your sleeper wide receiver for this year?
Now, this is a guy that I talked about before he signed, recently signing a contract with the Washington Commanders. That's not Brandon Ayuk. It's Stephon Diggs. Diggs, now part of the Commanders, he's immediately the second best wide receiver on the team, arguably the best wide receiver on the team, depending on your opinion of Terry McLaurin. Stephon Diggs is still really good. He reached 1,000 yards receiving with less than or right around a 60% snap share last season in New England. Now, granted, you know, change of scenery, things might be different. This is a Dan Quinn football team that wants to run the football, blah, blah, blah. He's got Jaden Daniels under center who, you know, worked really well with McLaurin a couple years ago. I could see him finding Diggs for another 1,000-yard season. You know, they have a lack of a dominant running game. Laremy Tunsil just got hurt. I know that that's, you know, not great for the passing game, as I'm sure that your research will show. But, you know, less time in the pocket means more quick hitters. Terry McLaurin's not exactly a quick hitter kind of guy. He's more of a downfield kind of guy. So, you know, Stephon Diggs as a slot, as a, you know, outside guy running drags and stuff like that across the middle. I like the fit in Washington, and I think he can succeed.
Only thing I will push back about your entire thought process, because I'm with you. I like Stephon Diggs. I don't want him as my wide receiver one. Honestly, would prefer him not as my wide receiver two, depending on the build. But if you're able to get him as a wide receiver three, a flex, and depending on the situation, I don't mind him as a wide receiver two. You'll be interested to read some of the findings for the offensive line article that is, I promise, is coming out. We've been talking about for 2 months, but it's when I went and had lunch with Nick, he had some ideas for it that I had to add to it. But I will have just a little bit of a spoiler. The whole idea that wide receivers who play the slot or tight ends play over the middle, that they get more pass opportunities when the offensive line is bad, is actually not true, according to my findings. We can. I would like anybody, once it comes out, hopefully the actual final goal is next Friday for it to come out. But next Friday being the 28th, I believe. Yes, August 28th. Yeah, so we'll see. But that's really the only thing. I like Stephon Diggs, especially where you're able to get him right now. We'll see where his ADP winds up, you know, as we get closer to the season, which we're only a couple weeks away. But
I mean,
you know, just,
we're looking at right now. Now, granted, he's moved up since signing with the Commanders, right. But I mean, he's still wide receiver 38 according to Fantasy Pros. So you could easily get him as a wide receiver three.
Yeah, without a doubt, I would smash that without a question.
And you know, it's a similar situation to last year, right? Like everybody had question marks because he signed late, and you know, he was, now granted, he was carrying an injury into the season last year, so I think there was even more question marks. But his draft price was so depressed. You could get him for super cheap last year. I did in a couple places. Now, granted, I traded him away for Ladd McConkey, which felt really smart at the time, and it was not. but that's another story. But anyway, we'll move past that because I'm going to get heated about it. Where are we going with your sleeper, Jay?
Just a couple of ways we could go here. What is Jalen McMillan's injury update? Have we heard anything recently? I've not. I should have looked before we started this. Jalen McMillan is somebody who, he did return to practice today. So yeah, I will continue. I'll go with Jalen McMillan. And it's funny, when I was recording the Ultimate Draft Guide episode with Nick Pollock, we're talking about how it's so funny that guys that produce but then, you know, get injured, it's like people just forget that they're good and that they've done it. Like we've seen Jalen McMillan for stretches from weeks 12 through 18 of 2024, he was top 5 in yards per target, was less than a yard behind Mike Evans in yards per reception, and he tied Terry McLaurin for the league lead in touchdowns with 7. And he came back the end of last year after getting hurt in training camp, and even with Emeka Egbuka on the field, he was still able to contribute, still was one of the best wide receivers on this team from a fantasy perspective, and you're getting him for free. And we already see him, Egbuka hurt. Chris Godwin, yes, he's back and healthy, but there's not a great history of wide receivers his age coming off gruesome, significant ankle injuries ever getting back to that elite status. So I think Godwin's fine, but I think McMillan is going to wind up being, as long as Egbuka is able to play, I think he's going to be the second most valuable wide receiver on this team that I do expect to throw the ball off.
Yeah, that's $2 at two different skill positions, Jay.
That's true. I don't like that.
You don't like that? I don't know. Anymore. I think I do like that because I'm ready for scorched earth Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like we talked about Baker a little bit when we were talking about my Malik Willis pick. I think I almost put Baker Mayfield in the show sheet for sleeper just because scorched earth Baker is my favorite kind of Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it.
But yeah, man, I think that McMillan can factor into this pass game. And like you said, I think he's a forgotten man. With Mike Evans gone, that opens up a lot of targets for a lot of different people. It's not all going to go to Emeka Egbuka, especially if he's on the field or off the field with a turf toe injury. So McMillan is a sleeper.
He returned last year, week 15, and he led the Bucs in yards per route run, yards per target, and yards per reception. Like, and that was with, you know, Mike Evans coming back for some of the games before getting injured again, right? So it's, yeah, I just, I think that people, you know, it's, he's not the sexy name anymore, and people are just like, he's okay.
I'm old. Yeah, you're going to stick with the Tampa Bay Bucks and go Kate Otten here for your tight end sleeper, right?
Yeah, not quite, Bob. I'm actually going to talk, there's a couple ways we can go with it here.
Even deeper on the Bucks roster, like Devin Culp?
Yes. Actually, they are going to put Baker Mayfield at tight end this year. I don't know if you knew that.
I love that. So,
yeah, yeah. He said he's just going to do it all. But no, I got a couple of guys. Let's, you know what? I'm going to do it. Isaiah Likely. Some people might think I'm being a homer. I have been a big Isaiah Likely fan for multiple years. A lot of people have. I'm not the only one. But, I mean, it's everybody's seen the freakish athleticism that the man has. He's got good hands. He scored that touchdown last year. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody was expecting this to be the year of his breakout just on your favorite team still because nobody expected them to put up that kind of money for Mark Andrews. But Likely followed Mr. John Harbaugh. I got to make sure I say the right one. To New York, where they have a quarterback who we talked about earlier, but quarterback that loved to throw the tight end last year. In 11 starts, Dart targeted the tight end position on 44% of red zone targets, 35% of end zone targets. He threw 11 touchdowns, and tight ends had 7 of those touchdowns. So we know that Jackson Dart likes to throw to the tight end position. After Malik Nabers, the Giants don't really have much at wide receiver. You know, we got the Rook. We've got Darius Slayton, who is a very poor man's Rashad Bateman, which that says everything you need to know. I think he's going to be the wide receiver too on this team. And he's still, like, I'm shocked at his ADP. Unless it's gone up here in the last day or two, he was going around, I want to say like 14 or 15, 13 now. So it's going up a little bit, but
how dare you not mention Darnell Mooney in that receiving core?
I do love me some Darnell Mooney. I do like Darnell Mooney, but no.
What about Malachi? Is it Fields? Yes. Fields? Is that the hot name around camp these days?
Yeah, and I do think he'll wind up being the wide receiver two on the depth chart by the end of the season, but I think Likely is going to be the more viable fantasy asset.
Dude, I dig that. You know, I love Isaiah Likely from his time in Baltimore. I was very vocal about the mistake that I thought the Ravens were making by extending Andrews and letting Likely walk. I guess he's a Harbaugh guy. I don't know. But it's a shame, and you know, we've seen Ravens tight end draft picks go on to greener pastures and have all pro careers before. Believe it or not, Darren Waller was a Ravens draft pick before he exploded with the Raiders.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He played a couple years with the Ravens. He was on the Ravens roster for a couple years before moving on to Oakland / Las Vegas.
And then he exploded. His rap career, right?
Yeah, and then he made a music video that was really, 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 really bad. And then he signed with the Carolina Panthers this week, which is super interesting, but we'll talk about that some other time.
They gave him a number, too. I saw that he was assigned a number, and I think it was, like, really weird. Let me see what it was.
It's probably, like 11 or something.
35. That's what it was.
Like 35. All 35. Right. So Darren Waller is playing fullback. Got it.
Yeah. So he was 35. Yeah. 35, 83 on the Dolphins, 12 on the Giants, and 83 for the Raiders, 84 and 88 on the Ravens. So apparently he had two numbers.
Yeah, man, I don't know what to do with Darren Waller. He'll probably catch a couple touchdowns in Carolina, and it is what it is. But
you pick Isaiah him up Likely. Or draft him very late. He scores a touchdown, you trade him. Simple Bingo. As that.
No, Isaiah Likely, though, back on actual topic. I love Isaiah Likely. I hope he succeeds in New York. He's one of those guys that, like I said, just falls to me in drafts where I don't go early tight end. And I'm completely fine with him being like with being the last team in the league to take a tight end and having Likely be the guy. I'm fine with that.
100%.
Yeah, he's definitely someone who the ceiling I think is like 120 targets and 80 catches. Like I really think that in New York he could be that number two option. And one of the things he excelled at with Lamar Jackson is that like scramble play, find a space to make yourself available for the quarterback. Lamar was always looking for Likely after he escaped the pocket. So I really think he could be that for Jackson Dart as well. If Dart would ever look up field after he starts running. Or if
the running back actually blocks the blitzing player, that would also help.
For what it's worth, the Giants did just trade away Falele, who, I'm very familiar with from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that should help the protection.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully.
All right. My sleeper at tight end. It is a deep sleeper. Okay. This is not somebody that you necessarily draft in a 16 team league. This is somebody that very well could be a top waiver wire option very early in the season. I have been very vocal, very outspoken on the Aronde Gadsden downfall, which I think that so far I have correctly predicted. All indications from Chargers camp is that he is struggling. Mike McDaniel is not pleased. The old saying, no block, no rock. Aronde Gadsden, not a good blocker, not going to get chances with the ball. Obviously, Chargers go out and sign David Njoku, but they also sign a guy named Charlie Kolar. Charlie Kolar, I am very familiar with as another former Ravens tight end. Sneaky athletic, makes very nice plays in the seam and is an outstanding blocker in the running game and the passing game. So I think he's a guy that's going to be on the field quite a bit. I think he's a more athletic Will Dissly. We've seen the Chargers make Will Dissly fantasy relevant in the past. I think Charlie Kolar is a younger, more athletic version of Will Dissly, and I think that he can succeed in this offense. I put a poll in the QBList Discord. Which Chargers tight end will finish with the most fantasy points this year? Kolar tied Njoku for first in that poll.
Wow.
So very curious to see how that shakes out with Mike McDaniel calling plays for Justin Herbert and crew.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like it. I wish that they wouldn't have signed Njoku. We could be really excited for Kolar. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that he could easily be the most valuable tight end from a fantasy perspective on this team. And it's not like Njoku's been on the field his entire career. You could see a situation, he goes down with an injury, Kolar winds up being that guy.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, Kolar did not play in preseason week one. He rested with the starters. Gadsden was on the field. Njoku also rested with the starters, but I like my odds there. Give me Kolar heads up against Njoku. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't mind it whatsoever.
Well, that wraps our sleepers episode, Jay. Anybody else you want to mention before we get out of here?
Laviska Shenault. I just wanted to mention him because I love him.
I love that. I love that. There is one name that has been super hot in social media circles in Kansas City Chiefs camp. Wide receiver Cyrus Allen is gaining steam. He's made some plays. He made Mansoor Delane look silly in camp on one viral highlight like yesterday. he's a name that I am watching for in late parts of my draft. If I need a wide receiver and there's nobody I really like on the board, I have no problem taking Allen because, I mean, Tyquan Thornton just went down with an injury. There's a possibility that he could have an opportunity as the third wide receiver there behind Rice and Xavier Worthy.
And, shoot, and Rice has not looked good in camp.
Rice hasn't looked good. And the way that Worthy came out last season and you know, played hurt and looked bad, there could be opportunity there in the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, and that's an offense that you want to take a shot on.
Bingo.
So yes, before sir. We get out of here, there I don't think there's anybody else. I will say, I will toot my own horn here just a little bit. Marvin Harrison Jr. has looked pretty good here lately. I know that's one we agree upon, or excuse me, disagree upon. So he was one of my post-type sleepers that I know he's not necessarily what some people might call a sleeper, but I still believe that he has that top 10 fantasy talent.
He's a guy that could absolutely just prove me completely wrong in fantasy, and I would have zero exposure, and it'd be like, you know what? I deserve that.
Yep, 100%. And that's, you know, sometimes that's just the case. It's like, you know, it's just because we say somebody's a bust or somebody's a sleeper doesn't mean that we're, you know, we know that there's obviously a chance that the opposite happens. And anybody who's, again, you know, doesn't believe in Marvin Harrison Jr. from a fantasy perspective knows that it is within the realm of possibility of him actually putting it all together. So we shall see.
If Marvin Harrison Jr. and DJ Moore are both top 12 wide receivers, I'm just going to hand my hat to somebody else and be like, here, here is now. Like, you get it. Good job.
Nah, we all have good seasons. We all have bad seasons. I'm with you on DJ Moore, though.
Well, that's a wrap from QB List for Jay
Felicio. Question.
Oh, no. I forgot. Yeah. I forget all that. Right. That's crazy.
All right. What is your, if you order a pizza just for Brett, what is your go-to topping order?
So, little known fact, Jay, I worked for Domino's Pizza for about 4 years during and after college as I was getting my feet under me. Okay. So this one is near and dear to my heart. Domino's is probably going to be very upset with me because I'm going to give away a couple of industry secrets here.
Write this down.
The pan pizza from Domino's is their best crust, hands down. So the medium pan pizza, I like to get chicken and bacon. If you want to throw some banana peppers on there also, highly recommend. And then ask for the veggie shake. It is basically like a seasoning powder they put specifically on the California veggie pizza. It is very good. For the veggie shake.
Ask for the veggie shake.
Veggie shake on your whatever pizza you get. Ask for the veggie shake because it's fantastic.
That sounds phenomenal.
And then on top of that, I put Sweet Baby Ray's hickory and brown sugar.
Yes,
and then
my God.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge chicken on pizza guy, but if I'm doing it, there is going to be barbecue sauce on there.
Yes, sir.
It's just the barbecue and the marinara together. It's just,
Yeah.
Man, you outdid me. I'm just a basic pepperoni and jalapeno, but Domino's on the pan pizza is just, and you got to ask them to do it a little, like not
a little
overdone,
well done.
But
little
you
well
got to. You gotta have that crust on there.
So makes me funny hungry. Story. The Domino's conveyor ovens are all programmed to cook at the same pace across the board. Like you can calibrate it slightly, but it's about 7.5 minutes through the conveyor oven. If you get them to just stick it, just push it back a little bit, get an extra 30 to 45 seconds.
I was just saying, do they throw it back in for a second time or they just kind of just push it up a little bit?
No, throw it back in for a full second rotation or you're going to be extra crispy. But, you know, just like an extra 30 to 45 seconds just to get the edges crisp.
Oh,
that's
man.
How you do it, man.
Veggie shake. I have to remember that.
Veggie shake. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know if that's still on the menu. I hope the California.
Well, it better be because you've got me excited for it.
The veggie shake, man. I don't know if, and the thing is, I don't know if they'll do it. I know right. I would do it when I was working because right. I would
it all depends on who
I'd be like, I'm going to put the veggie shake on.
Exactly. 100%. No, I love
good
it.
Good times driving for Domino's.
Hey, man. Hey, we've all had those kind of jobs, you know?
Yes, sir.
Got to start somewhere. I was worked at Costco for a couple of years, so.
Well, speaking of work and our jobs, Jay, let's talk about where to find you and your work here on QB List.
You can find me on X or Twitter or whatever the kids are calling it these days, at GMNJ. Recently just dropped my ultimate draft guide, which is basically, it's not your, you know, I was, as I was writing it, I was trying to think of how to describe it. And I really like what I came up with. I basically said, think of it as a cookbook. And I give you the recipe, but you choose the ingredients. You decide how you want to do things. It's kind of a peek into my brain of how I draft, how I play the game, why I do those things. And you know, you adjust it to how you feel and how it works for you. And my flag plant series is going to be coming out, if not the end of this week, the beginning of next week. So middle or end of August. Going to have a top 300 rankings update soon, and that much talked about 100% actually real offensive line research article will be coming out hopefully the end of next week, definitely by week one. That's basically what I'm going to say now.
Beautiful. And for what it's worth, I've read a draft. It exists. Like
that
it's
is weird. True. Thank you.
So I will back you on that.
I will Venmo you for saying that.
You can find me at Fade That Man. That's not the Venmo. The Venmo is different. I'll talk about that later. But you can find me at Fade That Man on social media. Make sure to check out QBList.com. What we saw is changing formats. Very exciting. I don't want to give anything away yet. You'll see it. Of course, you'll see it on Reddit on Monday morning in r/fantasyfootball. One of the best pieces of or the best things about the QB List content is that the QB List writers are so accessible, right? We're going to post that on at 8 a.m. if all things go well on 8 a.m. Monday morning after preseason week two. And we're going to be in and out of the comment sections all day answering your questions about what we saw, the things beyond the box score, hopefully giving you actionable insights on things that happen in preseason week two and how to act on them in your drafts. So make sure to check that out. Find me in the Discord and the QB List Discord and all the other places.
And you wait a few more days. I'll drop start sit on Reddit and I'll be doing the same thing, answering questions all day long. So, you know, QB List, like you said, we're extremely accessible and that's it's part of why we love doing this. It's the conversation. You know, there's going to be some trolls, but it's overall the conversation's great. And it makes you think too, like I've told somebody on my first top 300 rankings, I said, you bring up a great point and I'm going to take that into consideration. And I genuinely meant that. I hope I didn't come off like a jerk. Like it's, you know I don't know it all. And you know, you learn with the years, as they say, and nobody says that, but.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the QB List podcast. Make sure to tune in wherever you find your podcast. Give us a like and subscribe. We'll see you later.